Welcome, everyone. It is The Wrestling Show, and we are hot off the heels of Fastlane, heading into WrestleMania. This is Mania season, as you well know. I'm from the Lingus Mafia podcast, at Lingus Mafia. My name is Cav Manning, and we're joined by, watch me rile them up, everyone, the number one source for all of your wrestling news, the guy who gets it all right and gets fucking zero credit, he's Billy Body.
Oh, that doesn't wind me up, but that you state the fact. Look, some other people need to state the facts anyway. I feel like we did the better show yesterday. We should have just fucking recorded yesterday, but when I wanted to kill everybody.
Yeah, Billy was on fire yesterday, ready to fucking kill everybody, because he has, as if people are subscribed to Billy's Patreon and have listened to this show for a good amount of time or anything, you will know that Billy has said things that will happen at Mania or months ahead, like in December, shit like that, that, you know, Brian was going to go to Mania, and originally it was supposed to him to win the Rumble, but God forbid he didn't win the Rumble, so then everybody told Billy he doesn't know what he's talking about. Meanwhile, guess who's back in the main event of Mania? Like it was said earlier, they just found a different way to get him there. And so, of course, he reports all this months ago. And then what happens? Well, nobody fucking listens or gives credit. And then Dave Meltzer goes, you know what is going to happen, motherfucker? So then everybody thinks Dave's the end-all be-all because he was the original and he started the whole thing. So now people still go to him, which makes no sense because he hasn't had any information.
That's not actually what pissed me off, though. What pissed me off was, is that the week before the pay-per-view on Sunday, he turned around and they put possible spoilers for Fastlane, rumor killer, right? Mm-hmm. And when I break a story, they don't say my name. They say it has been reported. That's basically, that means the dirty sheets. Whenever you say, whenever you see, it has been reported, they're basically saying that it's me, without using my name, because when it's been reported, it doesn't mean anybody else. So I see this week the whole thing, rumor killer. I'm trying to find where it is. Spoilers. Yeah, possible spoilers for Fastlane. During Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer of, they even give his site all the time, talked about chances of Daniel Bryan being added to the WWE Universal title match at WWE WrestleMania 37. Anything is possible. That's his cover line already. But I did ask about that, and that was a no a week ago. Not even a week ago. Early, mid-week. Well, you know what? That's funny. Because you know when I asked? Christmas. 2020. Right? And I was told it, and I asked again, and I asked again, and he didn't win the Royal Rumble, and I asked again. And I've gone on this show, and I've gone on Russo's show, and I've gone on every show, and I've argued with people, and I've been sworn at, despite the fact of my track record, and I've ridiculed for saying that Daniel Bryan would be in the main event. I mean, the guy has been losing to fucking Jey Uso. He's been tapping out to Cesaro. Like, he hasn't been booked like he's going to be in his spot at all. But staying true to, like, the people that have been able to win us loads and loads of betting picks, have picked out Royal Rumble winners for years, told us Jinder Mahal was winning the belt, told us the Hardys were returning, gave us every Rumble winner, every WrestleMania result, have made money on countless pay-per-views for the last 5 years. I stay true to the sources that provide that information, and I continue to stake my reputation, which, to, by the way, it's one of those one-way stakes. There's no winnings for me. My reputation is like this. It's like putting a bet on where you can only lose. There's no winnings for it. If I'm right, it just gets given to somebody else. So now when it turns around and it does happen, the piece of shit that said it wasn't happening, right, and even got quoted as giving out a spoiler, it's a spoiler when he says something, when he hasn't been correct for 5 to 10 years from the day that he said CM Punk is returning this week on Raw before WrestleMania 30, mm-hmm. was the time where I just basically turned around and he was working with a bunch of clowns on another podcast, but I still turned around and said, you know what? I'm going to start saying what the news, what's going to happen. Because like I'm just making money off this, but I can like talk about this without like without losing customers for betting packages. I can do two things at once. I can give like news without giving out pay-per-view results, which is what I decided to do. And that's how this whole thing came about. And it's been endless. He's been wrong and I've been right, but they still say that his opinion, they don't even say Dave Meltzer claims. It's a spoiler from a person who's never right. Yeah, he's wrong again. And this is what happens. This is why I get so angry. So he comes out and Fightful, Sean Ross Sapp, a failed, discredited MMA writer who went into wrestling because you can't be discredited in wrestling. As long as you're white, like you can't be discredited in wrestling. So he then jumps on board of wrestling and he says, oh, I heard about this in the middle of February. Did you? Because don't you have a website? And aren't you a source of information? And aren't you a fucking journalist? So isn't it your job to say what is supposed to happen and not say afterwards? And then Dave, where's Dave's bit? I'm going to find where Boy Wonder sent us it in the group chat yesterday, because this is where like I really want to like start breaking shit. And honestly, I thought about just quitting. And I don't want to quit, because then we don't last, then we last less time than Steel Cage, and we have to outlive them.
Well, they could go on forever with three listeners. I mean, shit.
All right. So notes on WrestleMania. Oh, wait, no, that's my own notes. Where's this link that Nick said? Oh, here we go. Right. WWE has not confirmed that the match is going to be a triple threat, but that is the plan going forward. So Dave Meltzer reports that's the plan going forward. After watching the pay-per-view, where a fucking Stevie Wonder could have worked out that that was the plan going forward. It was reported by Fightful Select that the match being turned into a triple threat was a plan since at least the last week of February. Hold on, let me rewind. It was reported by Fightful Select that the match being turned into a triple threat was the plan since at least the last week of February. Date of their story, 22nd of March. They're saying that this was the plan in February. You're a fucking website. How can you say that that was the plan but didn't have it on your website? And then here comes the old bastard here. On the latest edition of the Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer said that Vince McMahon wanted to make some changes to the Fastlane pay-per-view. While the card remained intact, the main event was the key focus. Meltzer noted that there were reportedly many ideas thrown around, and most of them were not good. The idea to make WrestleMania match a triple threat match was reportedly the best idea. Hold on, cunt. Let's scale back a second. You did something 3 or 4 days ago where you said, I asked, and it's not the plan, and you were categorical and quoted around every single dirt sheet as being the guy who gave out the spoilers. Now you know everything. Now you have all this information. Now you know every inside discussion that was had by every person and who farted in the room and who looked at who. What the fuck are you talking about? How does anybody fall for this? I can't understand how anybody is this fucking stupid. How is this man giving you spoilers? Who did he talk to? Who did he talk to? His next door neighbor? Like, whoever he spoke to didn't know shit if he spoke to anyone at all. And then how can he then give that one report 4 days ago and then turn around and say, oh, well, there were ideas being thrown around. None of them were good. I know all the ideas because I'm Dave Meltzer. Well, they wanted to make some changes to Fastlane. While the card remained intact, the main event was the key focus. The main event was the key focus. So maybe they were going to change something at the main event. And maybe 4 days before that, you shouldn't have said, I asked. And they said, no. Why didn't you say, oh, well, it could change it because the main event is a key focus. Why do you need to say that 2 days after the pay-per-view? Is it because you're a liar and you don't know shit? And maybe like these frauds and these website owners should stop quoting you, but they don't. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. I don't know what is going on anymore. Like, it makes me just want to just not bother, because it's like fucking, if you were doing, it's like, you know those colored cubes that you can never like get it to like go, but you know when you Rubik's mess it cube. Up. Rubik's Cube, right? You're not going to do a Rubik's Cube for 5 years, but this is what I've been doing, and I don't understand this Rubik's Cube of what this is. Because this guy is wrong over and over and over again. But he's allowed to not only continue to be quoted and cited in every site, but his news is called a spoiler. And it's wrong. And nobody says he was wrong. But instead, they quote him again 4 days later when he was saying that he knew that it was a possibility. another dickhead who was chucked out of MMA for always being wrong can come into this industry, be wrong all the time, and then say that he had the story in February. And nobody turns around and says, well, why didn't you say something? And then we've got this other guy, WrestleVotes, a Twitter account, who turns around and a few hours before Fastlane, his tweet is Yowie Wowie, so that he can correctly claim that he said, told people that Bray Wyatt was returning, but in a subtle way, so he didn't want to spoil it. You know how Bray Wyatt was returning? Because Alexa Bliss was facing Randy Orton, you fucking wanker. That's why. Because Randy Orton wasn't going to beat the shit out of a fucking woman without anybody coming to her aid. Because that's the story. Yowie wowie, fuck you. Like, fuck all of you. And fuck anybody listening to this that supports them and doesn't, like, hammer up, like, Twitter accounts and go underneath the threads and leave comments and leave emails. You're like, what? You're listening to this for 4 years, 5 years, whatever, however long, getting all this information. Fuck you. There's a good thousand of you who come in and out and listen sporadically. Like, it's bullshit. What the fuck is going on? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, this cannot be. This cannot be down to a comment about women's wrestling, which is proven to be correct. Because unless I missed Evolution 2, the second pay-per-view, I don't think that this revolution has worked. And if it has, I need to re-look up the definition of the word revolution. Because there's no revolution happening. Because the women are part of an overall product that has dipped down to its lowest numbers of all time. I'm not saying it's solely down to the women, but the idea to increase your numbers by the ideas behind the women's revolution was not a moralistic decision for them to turn around and go, you know what? We've been like treating these bitches like a piece of meat for the last 10 years, like by making them wear like bikinis and mud and have mud baths and and big sex objects. We apologize. We did the wrong thing. They're equal to us. Look what Ronda's doing over in UFC. Like, this is what we should be doing. No, the only part of that sentence that's correct was, let's look what Ronda's doing. You know what Ronda's doing? She's turning in a load of fucking money. She's like the third highest grossing pay-per-view act in the history of UFC. And WWE wanted a piece of the money pie. They also wanted a piece of the family pie. They wanted your mum to start watching wrestling. They wanted your girlfriend to start watching wrestling. And they wanted your daughters to start watching wrestling. They wanted guys like us who didn't have sons, who had daughters, to say, you know what? My daughter can watch this because we got Sasha Banks and Bayley, and my daughter can watch this now. I don't need to not pass down my memorabilia and my love for wrestling just because I've been lumbered with a girl, because they cater for that now. And that was the idea behind it. And if it had worked, why are less people watching? So who was right and who was wrong? And even if I was wrong, how does that affect my news being reported when it's correct? And I said to Cav straight up, if you need to put a sentence before my name, widely dislikable cunt Billy Barton has reported that the WrestleMania main event will feature Daniel Bryan, then you do that. You call me anything that you want before you say my name and acknowledge that I'm correct. Acknowledge my story, because my story is the only story that has been right. Not this time, not last year, not the year before, but for every single year since CM Punk didn't return at WrestleMania 30. What can you say to dispute that? Anything that I've said in the last 10 minutes?
No. Other than me saying, see, I told you I'd rile you up. I said one thing and you set yourself on fire.
It's because I just... Oh, and this isn't even as bad as yesterday.
No, it's not, but it was pretty fucking good. It was, I think this was actually better, to tell you the truth. It was more, you had more things in front of you to read.
Well, it's been more out. No, I'm not reading anything. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the stories are there, and you could see, can you see how I don't understand, like, how nobody calls anybody out, or like how, surely someone's sitting there and saying, hold on, you said this though. Oh, and then, like, I mean, at least Nick did it. Nick was the one that pulled it up and go. Nick was the one that straight up said in our group chat, why did they not say it when they had it? Like, seeing it's just their job.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's just straight up, you're not liked by them at all. And when you say, at least just put my name in front of it, I think they're like, well, this will make it worse for you if they don't put your name in front of it and piss you off even more. So that's why they don't.
Okay, that's fine, right? Okay, they don't like it. They want to piss me off. But they have a business to run. They have a website. They have websites to run with thousands of people visiting every day. For them to not like me, right, is one thing, which is why I said, like, they could put anything that they want about it or whatever. They could put anything in front of my name. They don't need to like me. I'm sure there's, like, loads of these reporters that don't like each other. But the fact is that you're doing a disservice to everybody that comes on your website. You, at least one or two of them, right? If I'm blacklisted at some places that won't touch me at all, if I'm running one of the other sites, I'm thinking, you know what? We will just bite the bullet here. We'll take the news. We'll report it. And this will increase our traffic because people will start seeing that we are getting it all right all the time. Now, obviously, there is no doubt, and even in their minds, that I am the one who knows everything that's going on. Because simply through the monetary offers that I've had to do the news, but not say it's my news. So to put it in layman's terms, they want to buy my news off me. So they want to put me under a one with Raj Giri when the whole thing with him, when the shit hit the fan, he wanted a pseudonym. I didn't even know what pseudonym was. That it means that basically he was going to put me down as, like, you know, Steve Stevenson or whatever, mm-hmm. Steve Stevenson. And I didn't want to be Steve Stevenson. I didn't want to be anybody, like, but me. And that was the problem, because this is not about any money at all. And you'll see when it's not about money, when you see what I do to my Patreon page in a few weeks' time, because I'm so pissed off. Like, I don't care about money at all. Like, because as I was saying to Cav yesterday, you guys, even at my current Patreon rate, which costs $5 to sign up, my betting packages are $125. So that means I need to convince one person that I'm good at betting, compared to 25 people that I'm good at giving the wrestling news. For me to make the same amount of money, it's much easier to convince one person than it is 25. Especially when betting results are statistical facts every day. Like, you make a bet, you get the result. It's a fact, right? The fact is the money that is won from it. So it's very much more simpler to do. Whereas, you know, the wrestling thing with this Daniel Bryan thing, it's taken some time. Like, and for me to sit here and go, well, I didn't think it looked like it was going to be in a main event either, like, a few times. If I was denying that, I'd be lying, because it didn't look like it would at all. But through the fact that, like, I've had to, like, you know, from the very day when me and Nick were told that Nikki Bella was teaming up with John Cena at WrestleMania, and it happened, mm-hmm. like, we cannot go against the source ever again, because that was ridiculous. And then Jinder won the belt, and it was ridiculous. And Mojo won the Battle Royal. It was ridiculous. I mean, these are like small stories, like Mojo winning the Battle Royal. But back then, nobody had Mojo winning the Battle Royal. The betting odds didn't have Mojo winning the Battle Royal, anything like that. But, I mean, this is story after story after story after story. Like, random shit, like a fucking Fatal 4-Way. And, like, from the first week we were wrestling it, Raj Giri was messaging us going, oh, are you sure it's going to be a Fatal 4-Way? You know, I don't want to run with something if you guys are not sure. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, anything can change, but sure. We're quite willing to, like, put ourselves out there and the changes that happen in his company, usually up until like this particular WrestleMania, were about 10%. When Meltzer says plans changed was something that happened 10% at a time. And over the years, I've been caught out on that about 10% of the time. But I think the biggest one that I remember was Bayley not having the title for a really long time and losing it in San Jose.
You know, it's funny because I was talking with Billy earlier, and I said, because he was saying it's not the fact that people want to, like he needs the money for this. He wants more the credit for what happens with, his reporting, his story. And so I had suggested to him.
I want the discredit of the people that get credited. I want to discredit them. I started doing this to show people that they didn't know any people. So that, and I've proven that point, but they're not discredited. The only way to discredit them is to have my story against his story. All I want is for them to say, Dave Meltzer is claiming that Daniel Bryan is not in the main event. However, widely dislikable cunt Billy Barty is reporting that Daniel Bryan is in the main event. I want that paragraph added to every story. That's all I want. There's no money for that. I just want it to happen because it should.
And so when we were talking, I was like, well, how about having this wrestling show be more of these scoops and stuff like that? And then if obviously people will see that everything that he is saying is happening and everything. So, which means he would kind of know who's going to be winning certain matches, which means you should sign up to his betting package to fucking get free fucking money, because this isn't a real sport. And if somebody knows who's going to win, you can make a lot of fucking money on it. I would just like to know if people would prefer that type of show. And like tweet to me and let me know your thoughts. If you like us doing a rundown every week of what happened on fucking Raw and SmackDown and putting a gun in our mouths, or if you would like to actually have the rumors and fucking news instead. I have my opinions, but, if everybody likes a certain thing, that's what everybody likes.
But like, even with our listeners, like, they know that this is bullshit. They know this fucking shit is not fair. Like, they know that it doesn't make any sense the way that it's done. But, like, every single person has a voice. If, like, fucking 10% of the people that listen to the show, like, used their voice and said something, then we would get somewhere. Because, like, it's a lot of people, you know, annoying these sites and whatnot and saying what is what.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. Like, you can't be like the fucking silent majority and just sit here and listen to my show and be like, oh yeah, like we know, like, no, oh, yeah, you did say it. It's like, I don't understand why it's so easy to troll, but why it's so difficult to like help out. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but it's I totally get what you mean. It's more people to say because stuff on the bad side than the good. Yeah.
But the thing is that in this instance, you are trolling. Think of it as trolling, because you're trolling them. You're trolling all of the social justice warriors, the goody-goodies, by standing up for me, right? You're standing up for a brand of wrestling that is dead. The reason that this company is so bad and the product is so bad is because they're scared to do anything. Like, even in terms of, like, a few weeks ago when Alexa Bliss was in the, you know, the star thing that you told me was satanic or whatever.
Yeah.
What was that? Just a...
Yeah, she was in a satanic fucking pentagram.
Pentagram, right. So, in terms of doing that, in terms of going fully ahead with what the Hurt Business was supposed to be, like, we're black and we're gonna, you know, we are gonna be what the Nation were as such, but they were never able to fully say what they were. They were never able to do anything, a storyline that, you know, matched up to Black Lives Matter or anything like that. Retribution weren't really allowed to be anything either. So you're getting all of these half-assed, like watered-down storylines because they have to be protect, you know, they have to protect themselves against the complaints and a negative reaction which will swell on social media. And that's come from the way that wrestling is covered, because you have the biggest pussies, the biggest fags are covering wrestling, and they're covering MMA. When Dana White was trying to get UFC going again last year, when this pandemic started, and he did succeed at being the first one who got events up and running, they were all turning around. His own journalists were trying to stop him, right? Mm-hmm. It was the MMA going, oh, this isn't safe. Oh, so-and-so's tested positive for COVID. What a disaster. It's so wrong. I feel so wrong watching this and all this. They were just hammering Dana and the UFC, who they rely on for an income. So you have it. You have the biggest fucking pussies covering both of these sports, and they're ruining the product. Like, the fact is that AEW is basically governed by what Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez want to see. And they even tried to appease them. They celebrate winning awards from the Wrestling Observer. What kind of promotion is that? It's a piece of shit promotion. It's what wrestling is in 2021. It's what they think wrestling is, and it's the fan base that they go after. If you don't want to be in that fan base, and like you want to see like the wrestling returned into what it is, then you need to be like fucking supporting shows like this and people like me and people like Vince Russo and Cornette even, and other people that just say that this is fucking shit and these storylines don't make sense and it's fucking boring, and like we don't want to see match after match that run through like ad breaks. Because like we're the ones like standing up for like a better product, and we're like the ones who aren't covering this in some bullshit way, and we're not the ones that stood by and said, "Yep, women's revolution, bring it on, it's best for business." Mm-hmm. We didn't do that, and we were like blacklisted, and people like me have all been like blacklisted as the years have like gone on, and a lot of them have like don't cover this anymore.
Just remember, so, Aleister Black gave you shit, and now what is he doing?
Right. And where's that women's revolution? Like, I don't want to make it all about what I said, but the fact is that we represent like the other side of things that want like that want like risky shit on TV. Like, you know, we don't think there's anything wrong with one of the women being out there and being used sexually so that there's something else to watch on TV. Like, I don't think Lana and Liv Morgan and various other people belong in a wrestling ring doing wrestling. Like, they could be other ways that they can be utilized, but we can't get any of that anymore. And it goes all the way with like all the fucking stories that they do. But the fact is that there's literally a small handful of people like that are still actually speaking up for it and not letting this just disintegrate into the shit that it is. And like, it needs fucking support. Otherwise, the marks are going to win. And this fan, but instead of like, stop watching. And I realize we've lost loads of listeners not because we lost listeners through our content. We've lost listeners because the WWE lost viewers. And when WWE lose viewers, we lose listeners. Because our listeners are the people that want the product that we want. And the people that don't, the people that want the product that AEW put on, they are the ones that are left. The WWE's core fan base are the people now that watch any wrestling that's on. So let's go through the numbers just quickly before we just get on the research show. If 700,000 people are watching NXT, right? Mm-hmm. And 800,000 are watching AEW, that adds up, according to my maps, to 1.5 million people, yeah? Watching both the show on Wednesday nights, roughly. All of those people would watch Raw on Monday night because it'd be unopposed, yep? So that essentially is your core fan base. And then Raw, because it's Raw, it may have around about 250,000 more people that just watch Raw that are still like, you know, casually flicking through, casual fans. They watch an episode here and there, like, you know, they like, or maybe like Cav, who doesn't watch NXT or or AEW. But he's true to Raw because it's a habit for him.
Yeah.
It's like a 30-year plus habit for him. So he's going to continue 40 years nearly, actually.
Raw's not have been around for 40, but yeah.
No, WWE's a 40-year habit. Yeah. But Raw, I know Raw hasn't been around because Raw's been around for what? Next 2 years' time is going to be 30 years for Raw, isn't it?
Jesus. You know, and it debuted on my birthday. Can you fucking believe that?
Well, January 11th.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
So that's the by the way, like, none of these journalists can do that either. They can't just...
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you should be proud or ashamed.
Yeah, that's it. There's no credit for that. But fuck it. So, but that's the other thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, we want to get it from Dave because Dave knows everything. It's like, well, he doesn't know more than me. I don't, like, he just doesn't. Like, if we're talking WWE, he doesn't. It's there's nothing that he has the edge on me, edge when it comes to me. I'm thinner, I'm younger, I'm better looking, I'm more clued up, I'm more accurate than him. And you know what? All of those things, I've come to the conclusion, are the problem. Because the only conclusion that I come up with is that people want their wrestling journalist to be white, fat, and balding, and old. Because unless it's an old, fat, white guy with a receding hairline, like, you don't want to get your news from them. I mean, even Saturn got buried. They hate Saturn too. They hate me and Saturn, but Saturn's not discredited. The fact is that if I was discredited, I should be discredited for getting things wrong. But they're discrediting me for the things I do and say. They're discrediting me for jokes about JR's wife, which was actually jokes about Derek. But when another podcast, fucking Smart Wrestling Fan, do an entire song about JR having Bell's palsy, nobody says anything. It's okay to do that. And they're like the most social justice podcast that there is.
Big time.
But they can make a song about JR's, like, Bell's palsy. Jeez. But it's fine. Listen, the bottom line is this, like, we are the last of a fucking dying breed of people that are just sitting here hoping that it gets better. Like, we're not sitting here like going, oh, you know, like, this is, we like it, we're happy with how it is completely. And I know other podcasts don't do that either, but they do the thing where they turn around and say, the WWE has loads of talent. They say things like, this is the best roster that they've ever had, and they waste it with their, like, bad storylines, which is correct, but apart from the fact that it's the most talented wrestler. But they also say that AEW are doing things perfect because they're on their payroll. We're not on anyone's payroll. AEW are not doing things perfectly at all. The things were not even done perfectly in 1997. Because if you watch it back now, like we are, you can see that it's not perfect. It's never been, like, fucking perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better and easier to digest. So I'm looking for an easier, more digestible, by digestible form of content that I can still enjoy on Monday that doesn't bore me to death and doesn't insult me as somebody that's coming up to, like, 40 years old. Because it's not age appropriate for me anymore. I mean, it bores a fucking 10-year-old that I sit next to and watch it in most cases, where, like, he wants to fast forward, like, through certain matches. So when we go, mm-hmm. and all the fans like us go, then that's it. Then, so the choices are really simple. Like, have one last go at, like, supporting people like us and Russo and the people that still want this to be better, or you just stop watching. What, you just stop watching something that you watched ages ago? You'll stop. No, but people are doing it. People are stopping watching because that's Raw being down from 2.5 to 1.5. That's a million people this year that said, I'm done. I'm not watching it in the performance center. And it's interesting because to move the conversation on back to now onto the product. After WrestleMania, they're now looking for a place to do the show. Let's say, for example, they do it with fans, maybe not the next night, but they do get fans back by May or whatever. Do you think all of these viewers are coming back immediately?
No. And I think the ones that left are people who, like, popped in during the heyday. Like, they haven't been that lifelong fan. They enjoyed the hot time and then were bored and was done. But for slobs like us that have been around forever, they have that core group, which is the funny thing is that they do not cater to that core group. They cater to try to get a new customer. Meanwhile, it's like, well, you guys should have allegiance to us, first of all, because we've been around for fucking ever. And they just know they got us by the balls.
Yeah, but I actually feel that they don't. I don't think that they need to cater to that fan base. I don't think they're catering to any fan base at all, because they're not fully committing to the match like AEW are doing, but they're also not committing to any kind of decent storyline where they go like the whole hog with it. I mean, are you feeling WrestleMania-ish at the moment?
Not yet. It was very odd to me last night that all of a sudden the whole card was made and it was that quick. I mean, they fucking, like, the second something happened, was it, I don't know, was it fucking Bad Bunny or was it the fucking Rhea Ripley one? It was immediately that they fucking put a match on there for the fucking weekend. It was like, the guy fell down and they fucking put the match on. And I was like, well, if this is supposed to be quote-unquote real life, don't you have to fucking put this together and make sure it happens? It was like, boom, there was a match. I forget who it was toward the end. I forget who the fuck it was.
What do you mean?
Like who the match was that they announced. It was the second somebody like fell down, they said, oh, and we have another match for fucking WrestleMania on Sunday. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh no, that was the end. Like where Bray Wyatt, that was at the very end, yeah.
Yes, then I was like, that's the first thing I thought. I go, okay, I'm glad you knew, because I'm like, the guy got fucking, you know, he's out of it or what, and I'm like, how the fuck did this, was this agreed to? It's just a fucking match now, because they showed up. I'm like, okay.
I actually think the Saturday, Sunday thing, I don't think they should have announced it until the day. Like I liked the whole thing last year where you're waiting until like the day of to find out who's on getting. What day. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I think so.
I don't think you needed to do that, because I think that like it builds up more intrigue where I guess you need to do it because you have tickets on sale. I guess true. Maybe people know what one night they want to purchase tickets for. I mean, I think it's pretty much even. What way that you would go based on what we've seen from yesterday.
Well, just if you're Roman's my favorite guy, I want to go to that night. I mean, that's the only thing I could fucking think. And the only thing I was surprised by is I thought we were expecting a tag match with the Bad Bunny stuff, and that it's just a single is very odd to me.
Really odd, and it's like going to be really, I mean, that's fucking putting that's a lot dangerous. Of faith. Yeah, it's putting a lot of faith into Miz. It's pointless. Because, I mean, Damian Priest then doesn't get the rub of that, mm-hmm. which I thought was the whole point of this. I mean, I wonder if that would get changed. Maybe, like, Priest wasn't there last night. I mean, there's obviously another COVID outbreak that's happened.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's got it. And
isn't that supposed to be a three-way, too, the Charlotte and Rhea and all that?
Yeah.
And I just assume it'll still go there.
Depends how she is, I guess.
I guess, but I mean, this, it's supposedly, you know, what is it, 2 weeks? You know, but I mean, she's going to have a problem, you know, catching wind and shit like that, but I don't know. They, what is it, 26 days until or something? It's not even that, is it? What is it?
Is
it 29?
Well, until WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Well, from now, from today?
Yeah. It's 3 weeks. 19. I thought that maybe that's why they were pushing things too, because they were so, you know, it's like, we got no time. We got to hurry up and set these matches.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I think Charlotte will get given another week because there's only two Raws left. I don't think they're going to announce it on the final week. So she's going to get until, I would say, next week, next Monday to get right. But here's the other thing. What about that report? The other report that was saying that Charlotte's not going to wrestle unless Andrade's granted his release. And they said fine. Like they said, if he will release him as long as you miss WrestleMania, thinking that she would turn around and refuse to miss it, and then apparently that she did, and that's how he got his release. That is an example of the complete bullshit that's out there. Why on earth would WWE be begging Charlotte to miss WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's retarded.
Yeah, it says here that tonight's Charlotte's current situation is unrelated to Andrade. Okay, so this site haven't even picked up the story, but I'd like to fish around to see what the story was. And the story was basically that Charlotte said unless Andrade got his release, then she wasn't wrestling WrestleMania. And they said to her, if you miss WrestleMania, we'll give him his release. It's like, how does that make any sense? But apparently this story was credible enough for loads of people to pick it up, which makes no sense.
That does make fucking zero sense. Like, why would they hurt themselves to fuck? They are a bit of a spiteful company, obviously, but that is ridiculous. This is Mania, and they'd be like, yeah, no. Fucking so stupid.
Yeah.
So we've done 41 minutes and haven't talked about anything.
We're talking about Mania. We're talking about the card and everything.
Yeah, I mean, so just a couple hits then. What do you think of the Fiend's whole Jason Voorhees Toxic Avenger look? I think it's a lot of fucking trouble for him now. I think it's a lot of fucking trouble with what he has to now put on and go through and do this all the time when he's going to have a match. He's got to put these sleeves on that make him look like he's a fucking, you know, a mongoloid fucking burn victim and shit.
Yeah, what are you saying? Like, it's not going to stick. Like, it's
I
not
can't imagine it stays. That is so much fucking trouble to have to go through. Mask is one thing. Fine. He's got it to where his arms look like he's decaying, like he's from fucking Jason Part 7.
Austin doesn't like it. He said, I hope he doesn't stay like this. I don't think it looks that good.
The worry is that they're going to be wrestling in that red fucking light now again, because you don't want a lot of light shed on that fucking outfit.
Did you, I don't know if you read my stuff, you didn't read my stuff. So I did a story this week and it said, I can't be bothered to find it. It basically said that. Did I read it on here? Or I read it on Russo's show. I read it on Russo's show, and it basically said that WWE is still haven't decided anything on the card other than Bianca and Sasha and the AJ tag match they announced this week. But none of the major matches were finalized. They were still booking. They're heading towards three triple threats, and we're going to scale back and drop one of them. So I said either Brian or Sheamus will be disappointed, and it turns out it's Sheamus. So I went even on further and I said, even Randy Orton and The Fiend isn't confirmed. I said, while it is a match, it's not. They're now pulling back on the cinematic aspect of it. And I feel that is still going to be true, because I was told that at WrestleMania, they want to deliver the entrance to the live crowd while they have them, mm-hmm. and it means that they can get away with a squash, but essentially then have the cinematic match that they had planned at Money in the Bank. So you can extend the feud by giving people the ring entrance and the match at WrestleMania for the live crowd, and then have the cinematic match when you need to have a cinematic match for no crowd. So that's what I was told was going on a few weeks ago. And that could still be true, because it does make sense.
Yeah, that would be better. I mean, obviously he would work a lot better with, you know, the cinematic stuff and not fucking live where you're wearing a fucking costume to the ring.
But the cinematic What I'm saying is the cinematic match is going to be delayed for another pay-per-view. So at Mania, you'll get the entrance in a couple of minutes.
And we'll get just a taste, yeah. The Braun deal with fucking Shane, I still don't understand the whole fucking thing, that why this is even fucking happening, other than, okay, Shane, you want a match? Here you go. He's just, all he does is say that he's fucking stupid, so, okay. Another little tidbit was, you're 100% sure, and I'm sure, and I know nothing from the insides, but that Sasha will become a bad guy.
That's not from the inside. That was from me watching the show. I said it before I said it on last week's show, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I think you might have even said it before that.
Did you hear how they were piping in booze for her at one point this week?
No, I didn't even notice the booze part. I see the attitude and how she's doing the, you know, no helping on her side, shit like that. So you do see it coming. And so, yeah, I'm pretty confident that that's going to happen too.
But it's too soon for Sasha to lose. I mean, I know she's had it since October, and in this day and age, that's a long run, but I still think that she will have it as a heel. I still think that. And also, Bianca's really bad. Bianca is really, her acting is fucking awful. Her whole thing of like, when she's angry, it's like the whole thing was like moving her hands around and like bouncing and just her facials. And it's like, you're fucking awful. Like, if she's white, she's not in this match. If a white female wrestler had her skill set, her ability, her wrestling skills, and her acting ability, they would not be in the main event at WrestleMania. This is solely down. This is positive discrimination.
They're putting her in. She's getting what do they call that when a black gets a job over a white or something? What the fuck do they call that?
I thought it was positive discrimination.
No, it's close to that. It's God damn it. What's the fucking term that's fucking used? God damn. Oh, fuck. Our boy Umar are going to fucking scream at us over a fucking text. But it's...
Okay. Umar can't say that Bianca Belair is talented.
I think she's fine. She's capable. I'm not jumping up and down. I mean, you know... she's better than some of these people out there.
No, she is. She's a better wrestler than most of these girls. But then when you look at, when you look at the whole package, like, is she a bigger star than Liv Morgan in this spot? Liv Morgan would be far better in this spot. Should. Because the wrestling side of it is not essential. The idea is to get somebody to cheer for you over Sasha Banks. I make a prediction right now. Bianca Belair is going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania, and Sasha Banks is going to get cheered. And even if Sasha Banks is turning heel, like, nobody is going to cheer for Bianca Belair. And as for the other match, the main event, I still stand 100% that Rollins was supposed to be in this, because now you've had to turn Edge into the tweener that you probably didn't want to turn him into so early into his career, because the idea is to get everybody to cheer Bryan. And if Rollins had been in that match with Reigns, it would have been so much easier to cheer Bryan, because you would have recreated the Orton and Batista versus Daniel Bryan situation, which is what they were intended to do, except Reigns gets all of the heat from winning. Because you imagine that night at WrestleMania 30 that Daniel Bryan didn't win.
Yeah, after all right. that.
Right. This is what this is supposed to be. So it's Roman is supposed to take all of that heat onto the return of live crowds. It's not supposed to get a babyface reaction or anything like that. No, he won't. I don't think he will.
You don't think Roman will be cheered now?
No. I think Brian being there is deliberate, because first of all, Brian's retiring, which is why I knew he was getting his spot back in December. And second of all, even if he wasn't retiring, in this current core fan base, where, you know, it's a lot of guys that watch everything, he safeguards you against the boos. I don't think anybody gets cheered over Daniel Bryan.
By the way, it's called affirmative action. I just remember.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's what situation is with Bianca Belair, because when you look at her wrestling, it's absolutely fine. But when you look at the other talent that's available, there are so many other girls that could have been put in this spot. Like, I'm looking at fucking... Liv's not as talented in ring, but she looks a lot better, and she would have been more suitable for it. Peyton Royce could have done it. Let me see at baby faces who could have been in this spot instead. Who's on the women's? Who's on the Raw side? Hold on a second. Who's on the Raw side for women? Yeah.
On the Raw, Mandy, Dana.
No, none of them. I don't think Mandy Rose is a good. Oh, you're doing the Miss Lingus competition. So who have we got as the women for that?
Oh, in the Miss Lingus, let's see, who the hell do we have? I could run through. Well, there's not going to be a ton of them because it was. Let me see. It is, you have, oh God, they're not even there. Mia Yim, Bailey, Lana, Alexa. There you go, Alexa.
Okay. I'm looking here, and it doesn't look like a lot of these are like options for like main roster, but you could have put Ripley on this. Bear in mind, Ripley's not supposed to be. I mean, Ripley's not supposed to be in a singles match, so they're supposed to be playing off Charlotte being her last year. But if Charlotte, you know, if you didn't have the thing with Charlotte, Ripley's a better babyface. It would have been a better babyface, and she's more talented. She's actually going to turn heel at some point, is what I've been told. Like, she's there to be a heel, not to be a babyface on this brand. You could have had Toni Storm, Io Shirai, who else? Peyton Royce, I've already said. I don't like Ruby Riott. Billy Kay can't wrestle. I think that's really about it. Liv Morgan, I've already said. I don't think Sonya's a good babyface. Toni Storm, I think she'd be really good babyface eventually. That's about it. So, and Carmella's a heel. So if that is it, right? Mm-hmm. If that's it, that's the only people I trust. Then why don't we get rid of some of these people? Like what? The biggest women's match that you have that you can do at WrestleMania, apart from Ronda coming back, is a really good story of Sasha as a heel and Becky as a babyface. Mm-hmm. Because that is like that. You can tell like their personalities are a complete opposite of each other. You can tell like Becky's actually probably genuinely nice, and Sasha's not too far off. I mean, watch Steve Austin. Watch Sasha Banks with Steve Austin. Like, you'll see. But, like, the whole boss thing is not that far off. So, it's so weird that you feel that she has a dislikable personality for real. Mm-hmm. But, like, everybody has built up this desire to, like, bang her. And I think it's the entrance. Like, even when I made the notes for SmackDown this week, actually. So we're not like losing much. Like you're not losing out this week by us not covering SmackDown properly, because it was only me that did the notes. So,
yeah, I always skip when there's a pay per view. I pretty much skip writing notes for SmackDown because I'm like, it's obsolete after the pay per view.
Did I actually say anything interesting at all?
Yeah, you made a Bears joke, of course.
was it Shayna Baszler?
Yeah,
missed the kick by a mile.
Yeah.
So. Here's my notes for SmackDown, like, in a nutshell. Like, Baszler misses a kick worse than a Bears kicker. Rollins is stale and boring. I talk about the tag matches between Mysterio and the Profits and Gable and Otis, and I say, remember Otis won Money in the Bank?
Can you remember Otis used to be in a tag team, but they had to break them up to put him back in a tag team?
Yeah. What about Corbin and Sammy's match being built as the match no one wanted?
I loved that. I thought that was fucking fantastic. I said, oh my God, they're burying one of their own fucking... And I go, because it's true. Nobody gave a fuck about that match. I was like, oh my God, they're actually saying that? But then it turns out, you know, that it was because of the whole conspiracy deal or whatever.
Natty and Tamina botch up their... Like, Natty and Tamina attack Bianca and Baszler, and it's terrible. They're obviously the tag matches for SmackDown and the women's tag are obviously all like multi women and multi men matches because you're gonna have Natalya, Tamina, Liv and Ruby, blah 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 blah, Mandy and Dana, and Nia Jax and Baszler, and they're probably one more team I'm missing. Lana and Naomi. Yeah, you're gonna have like these like 10 women in a match, and then you're gonna have the same for All the SmackDown tag teams. I'm not going to bother naming them all. You know who they are. And yeah, that was really my notes for SmackDown. Edge beats Uso. You've put Fastlane, Retribution done. Yeah, like Ali's big push is over. When do you think that they pull those Retribution guys out as new characters, as their old?
The tag team of the two big guys, I think they might stay who they are. I think Mia Yim becomes Mia Yim, and I think Slapdick becomes someone else.
Mm.
The two big guys could just be monsters, you know, and with their masks and be fine. I don't mind the guy that looks like the Predator. He's my favorite of the group for sure. Two questions, and then we'll finish this. Does Sheamus win the United States title at Mania?
I like that segment where he smacked the scooter into him. I think his acting is like good. I think he's been good for like a year where he's been given shit stuff and he's done good with it. Yeah, I hope so. Matt Riddle needs to get away. Like he's now playing with that whole thing when he's asking all the questions. Yeah. He's now not playing. Oh no, he's playing a four-year-old.
He's like Down syndrome.
Because like, there's a thing they call it like the fucking. It's not even four. It's called like so it's somewhere between 3 and 4 years old, and kids go through a stage. It's called the Y phase, where it's like, and it's called like why, and they ask loads of questions about every single thing. Like they ask question after question after question after question. So at that time, he's playing a four-year-old. And I think if you're playing a four-year-old, you got some problems with your like fucking character, and he needs to move on. Did you not have any thoughts about Fastlane? Did you think anything on there was like particularly good?
There was particularly good, not necessarily. Drew and Sheamus beating each other—that's kind of good. I thought the Brian and Roman thing was good. There was only one other thing I wanted you to comment on, and that was
the botch.
Yes, the botch for Apollo and Big E.
Okay, I guess the main question out of that is, what do you think that was supposed to be?
I think he was supposed to roll it backwards and continue the small package, but reverse it.
Well, and win.
Big E to win, because didn't Apollo put him in the small package? I think he was supposed to kind of. Big E then was supposed to kind of kick it and roll backwards on top of Apollo for the win instead. And he couldn't get himself over. So
I don't think that was the finish. Do you think that was the finish?
Yeah, I think he was just supposed to roll back over him into the small package and get the pin. And he couldn't, so he just popped out of it and just became almost like a perfect plex bridge.
No, they were only fucking... like a few minutes into the match. I think he was supposed to small package him, and I think he was supposed to reverse the small package, but I think both of them were supposed to be twos. And I think the match was supposed to go on. There's no doubt Big E was supposed to win because that's why they played his music, because they had it queued up. So Big E was supposed to win, obviously, later on in a match, and it was supposed to get attacked after the match no matter what, but... I don't think it was supposed to be that, because even when they did that pinfall, Big E didn't actually pin it. So I think there's two things like to look at here. Number one, like, why is Big E wrestling like an indie wrestler? Why is he fucking getting involved in small packages and everything? You're a fucking big, massive black dude. And second of all, like, don't get women to do jobs that are for men. Like, you don't have to force women into everything. You don't have to force them to wrestle. You don't have to force them to be referees. Like, she obviously, like, messed up. So that teaches you that she shouldn't be there doing that job.
Well, it's not to say fucking guy referees aren't fucking up, because they've fucked up a million times.
They haven't fucked up that bad. Like, why is she counting? Like, your job is to count to three when you're supposed to count to three. And she would have known when she was supposed to count to three, and it wasn't then.
I see. So, I don't know. That's the problem. We don't know if for a fact that I'm thinking it was supposed to. That's why I was like, I think it was supposed to be the end. And he was like, I can't turn this into a pin. I can't bounce myself over. So fuck it. I'll just cradle him like a fucking, you know, perfect plex. And that's the pin. Fuck it.
Okay, so if they're doing a small package finish, right, mm-hmm. on purpose, you think that was the finish. Do you think that they were supposed to 100% then continue this on to Mania? You think this is the Mania match?
I think probably. Because then Apollo just kills him afterwards, you know, and continues to beat the shit out of him. It has to. And I would think that's where fucking Apollo wins it.
Apollo's going to beat Big E at Mania.
I think so. I think at that point, because I was like, he got a whole new character, this and that. And then I was like, but it's too fucking soon for Big E. So this gives a little more time at least. And if you're going to do it, then do it on that stage. But I can't imagine he turns into this whole entire character just to fucking lose.
Well, he's a better character than Big E, because Big E's fucking awful.
I thought Big E was good with the intensity, talking shit on SmackDown and stuff like that. That was pretty good.
Okay, but it's still all this, you said to me. It's like, Jesus, like, he's gone. He's now stuck in this gospel gimmick, and he can't seem to get out of it. Like, just speak. Like, Apollo is speaking in an entirely different accent. So why can't you just speak like you speak?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I hate Big E. I hope that they do like make him lose the belt here against Apollo or anybody coming up. But again, it's like, I think Apollo, obviously they want to do something with him. I think a lot of it comes down again to Tom from being black. However, if you do feel like you have to push your criteria of black people, then Apollo has the right gimmick to do it, because Nigerian representation has been like lacking. Like, it seemed like I've been talking about a long time how black people are only represented in one way, where it's like, oh, they're fucking dancers, they're all get jiggy with it, all this kind of shit. It's like, no, there's loads of different types of like fucking black people, just like there's loads of different types of white people. And this is this whole Nigerian thing. Like, Nigerians are everywhere, and Nigerians and Jamaicans are just two examples, and they're completely different to each other. Like, if you meet a Nigerian and you meet a Jamaican, like, they're both black, but one type is like, you know, kind of like more chilled out, and the others, you know, are more inclined to, you know, rip you off as such. Like, I mean, you have to watch a Nigerian. Like, you have to watch yourself around the Nigerian.
They're very shifty. Like,
I'm not saying Jamaicans are not. I'm just like kind of generalizing. But the Jamaicans and Nigerians are not the same. And then you've obviously got, and then you have like, I don't want to go like over, like, this is becoming like geographical, but yeah, there's different, loads of different black people from different like types of black culture have different types of personalities that go along with it.
That's why you got Kofi versus Omos.
But even like in terms, yeah, but that's the thing. Kofi Kingston was supposed to be a Jamaican.
Yeah.
And he would be different to like Woods, who's, I don't know what Woods is. I guess Woods is your fucking, just your black American, your black American.
I would say he's more of a black nerd.
Yeah, but you get that as well. Like, you do, you do get that. You do get these fucking, like, I mean, look at Umar's a black lawyer.
Yeah, he's like a unicorn.
But like I said, like, there's, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Woods for a lot, I always think, like, if you break this group up, if Kofi Kingston was to play like the Jamaican, like when they were trying to make him play a Jamaican or whatever, Woods, or for a long time, could have easily played like a fucking sophisticated black guy who fucking wore a suit and came out of like intelligent shit and carried a clipboard or whatever. Like, I don't know, some kind of fucking...
Didn't he do that when he scouted for New Day?
Or Professor Woods kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, he did that. I think we're fucking done. We're over our hour already. Talk a bunch of fucking nonsense. Where could they find all your stuff, Billy?
I don't know, who cares? They're not going to look for it anyway. It's the dirtysheets.com. The Patreon page, I'm going to make some changes to it on April the 1st. So we'll see where we go from there. And maybe looking at doing like more audio content on that along to go with it. Maybe even looking at sampling out more free stuff. And maybe targeting people more towards the betting packages. Because look, I think the key thing at the moment is to let it be known, well, widespread, that where the news is coming from. And then you can win. Once you know that, then you also know you can win money from it. And I think the key aspect for me in terms of if we're looking to monetize would be, okay, you can make money by using the betting picks. But if you want the news, essentially, I'll just give it to you. Like, I'll just give you the so-and-so gets paid this, so-and-so's merchandise sells like this, so-and-so is facing so-and-so. Like, I don't, who cares? Because somebody has to be getting it right. And it's not fucking Meltzer, that's for sure.
Check out Podcast on a Pole. The new episode is out. It came out yesterday. And you want to go check that out and also go to their Twitter. That is Tweets on a Pole.
Oh, actually, podcastonapole.com is the Patreon for that too.
There you go. There's going to be a special out next week for Podcast on a Pole Extra, where this is the show that we have on Patreon, but you're going to get it for free this one time only, and that'll be released next week, where you could hear what we've talked about, what's coming up, and a couple of tidbits from that show. Follow me. I'm at Lingus Mafia. And that's where you're going to find me. Go ahead.
Wait. I did a whole betting thing last week. It took me about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So I want like to make sure that you plug the ballots, because everybody should be fucking asking for one.
Well, ballots are already sent out. It's already underway.
I didn't get one.
Did you ask for one?
Well, I did the odds. I thought it would be automatic.
I'll tell him. We're in round two. I mean, it's the same. I think there's only two rounds, but it's revealed on the first week of April.
Hold on. He didn't send me a ballot when I did the odds.
Contact him and say, where the fuck is my ballot? I was wondering this. I thought maybe you had already got it sent, because I don't even know. He's in charge of that, and he's the one doing it.
So wait. So it's too late for people to get to vote now?
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, I believe that we could probably get you in. I would assume we could get you in still. If it's only one person, yeah.
What about Russo? Can we get Russo in?
Probably not. Probably. Well, he would have to fuck. I mean, he's away this week. I don't know if he's going to sit there and do a ballot.
What about Disco Inferno? Can we get Disco in?
Yeah, I would think Disco could get in. Contact Rob right away on Twitter. DM him. Rob Casso. And go, what the fuck? I came up with the odds and I'm not included?
Yeah, he must have thought like he's going to do the odds for 2 hours, and he's going to come on and do a podcast but he probably doesn't want to actually have any say in it at all.
That's very interesting. It's very interesting because
what a smart guy you have doing that.
Well, what's even better is he says he wants to be paid now for what he's doing. So this is the new this is the new thing, and he didn't include you. Oh my! Meanwhile, he sent out the ballot to people who did not ask, which we don't even fucking talk to. And I'm like, what? There's a whole Derek's involved.
So one other thing I'm going to say on that note,
yeah.
In terms of like involvements, if you want to, we're going to try and branch out here. So if you want to do a show about wrestling, we're not really looking for people to cover Raw and SmackDown unless you're a fucking unbelievable talent like us, like we are. If you're equivalent to us and you think you are, you send us your show. But we're more so looking for like people to just kind of do. We 100% would like AEW covered and NXT. So if you're willing to do that and your show is decent still, then we're willing to have it on. If there is some WWE discussion like intertwined in that, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But like, if we can get those shows covered and you want to like come on a platform, and look, here's the thing. Like, you start, you don't have to go there and go on iTunes and like fish for follows and fucking start with like fucking 26 people listening to your show, like your mum, your dad, and their friends, right? You don't have to start on my platform that I built with, you know, a whole bunch of like Indians and people that started listening to the Steel Cage. So there's a lot of people here to start with. So, you know, rather than wasting, if you just want to have a podcast, instead of like wasting, what is it, Cav? Like $25 a month just to have a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Instead of wasting $25 a month and spending that time doing the show and having like fucking 25 listeners, if you want to like, if you're watching AEW or NXT and you want to shoehorn in your obviously opinions of WWE, whatever, then we're willing to like take a listen to your show. We're only looking for stuff that's like under an hour, preferably half an hour, because that's that honestly we'll get listened to more. If you do a half an hour review of NXT and AEW or 30 minutes NXT and 30 minutes AEW separate, you have a real good chance of like picking up a load of listens and like, you know, a following for yourself, the back of the day sheets. So yeah, we're looking for that if anybody wants to do it. But we will tell you if your stuff is shit. We'll straight up just tell you we can't use it. So, you know, we're not here to like just fucking to critique you and say, oh yeah, come back, like, you know, you got a real shot, kid, like come back, just tweak this and you got a job or whatever. Nah, like, just we're looking for like someone polished, for polished guys who want an audience to come in and do NXT and AEW.
I will be posting my guys. I have a guy on the Lingus Mafia Patreon that sends in a review show every week to us, and we put it on Patreon, and I think it's fucking fantastic. He does, he made it a half hour, and it's half wrestling review, and the other half is NBA for the week review. So 15 minutes wrestling, 15 minutes NBA, in and out, and it's fantastic. I would like to share it with this audience and see what you guys think. If you think it's horrible, tweet me. Tell me it's horrible. If you think it's fucking fantastic, you'd say it's fantastic. I gave it to the boys. They critiqued and gave me words on what they thought. I won't say what they thought, so it won't influence anybody's opinion. I would like to hear freshly from our listeners and see what they think. All right, Billy. Here we go.
Really done now.
Okay, me too. For Mr. Billy Body, I am Cav Manning, and we'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.